Don't cause any one of these little ones to stumble. Really, in the original, as he spoke that, that was all one word. It was a verb form that really had the root of the noun, meaning the tripwire. This little thing right here. You know the purpose of a tripwire, right? You pull the trapper back, and you carefully, anybody want to do this? Oh. The first two services it worked without smashing my finger, but you never know. You put it under that little notch and carefully let it go. And I've learned to put a board like that. You know why. And that tripwire, all you have to do is disturb it a little bit. And the trapper . That's what Jesus was talking about. Because you see, after 2,000 years ago, they never really did develop a better mouse trap. Because he had them there too. And they all worked the same. You disturb that tripwire, and it causes the trap to explode and hurt and maim, even kill. What Jesus was teaching is that don't be the tripwire. Actually, what's not printed in the service folder is the words just before the text, and it says that Jesus took a little child and he brought him amidst them. Even it says, put him on his lap. Can't you envision that? I look at that stained glass window over there. It captures that. Took that little child and put it on his lap. Because Jesus loves little children. And he knows how gullible they are. He knows, especially as they're little, you could tell them the moon is made out of green cheese and they'll believe it. You could also, by what you say, lead them to not understand the importance of knowing Jesus as their Savior. And that would be like the tripwire, and disturbing it and causing one of those little ones to sin and maybe even led away forever. But it doesn't only have to be little children. It can be those of a childlike faith. Anything that we would do that would cause a weak or an immature Christian to fail and to fall. And that's why, you know, he doesn't mince words here. And that's why I've entitled this whole thing about, it's serious that he speaks to us. It's serious about sin, because he says, it would be better for him, if you are that tripwire, for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. How long can you tread water with a half-ton stone tied around your neck? Jesus says, be careful. Be careful by not only what you say and how you live, but even what you don't say and what you don't communicate. Be careful that you don't trip people up. Now, it's important for us to understand how the Scripture describes sin. He talks about if you trip somebody up and cause them to stumble into sin. What does he? There are a number of word pictures that the Bible uses for that. One is missing the mark. You take a bow and arrow and you draw it back, and if you don't hit the bullseye, you miss the mark. God wants us to aim our life right at the center of his will, and if we don't hit it, Or another one is that when we say in the Lord's Prayer, us our trespasses. That word has to do with stepping over the forbidden line. When God says, this is the line, it's not a gray area that I'm speaking about. I'm talking about what I say in my word is wrong. If you step over that, you trespassed. But there's another word, and it's called, it's a word that has the description of measuring up. Once in a while, I like to take and build things in my workroom. Let's just say a chair or a bench or something like that. But it's easier, isn't it, if you would order online a pattern so that you didn't have to figure out all of the angles and all of the length of the wood. They would just tell you. So I order a pattern, and it says, I need a board 10 3/4 inches long. So I take my trusty Craftsman tape measure, and I measure it out, and there it is, 10 3/4 inch. But what happens if this isn't calibrated correctly? What happens if this doesn't match the standard of what an inch is? And when I get be right, there are going to be things that are wrong. It maybe won't at all what it's supposed to be. Or maybe this ruler has been one of my favorites, and it's been used a lot, and there are parts on there that are kind of rubbed off. And so maybe 10 3/4, oh, maybe it's about there. And then it doesn't get measured exactly right. Well, no matter how much I like this ruler, no matter how it's been faithful to me and really good, throw it away. It's worthless because it doesn't match what it's supposed to be. It doesn't match the standard. It doesn't match the instructions, and then there will be problems. That's what God is teaching us about sin, in a way. He says, I want your life to measure up to my instructions. I want it to measure up not just about what I say, maybe close to what I say, maybe 99% of what I say, but I want you to measure up 100% exactly what I tell you in my word. And if you don't, if what we think or do or say that doesn't measure up to his word, it's sin. It's wrong. And no matter how much we might think, well, I'm pretty good, or how much we might say, okay, I make mistakes. Everybody does. God says, it's wrong. It's sin. And sin separates you from me. And that's why he is so careful about teaching you and me about the seriousness of that sin, the seriousness of any sin, because it can separate us from God. It can undermine our faith and even destroy our faith. Now, I know that it's not always the nicest thing to think about hell, especially the way it's described to us in Scripture. It would be easy just to kind of, okay, that's fine. I'd much rather hear about the good news of the gospel. And maybe we even kind of excuse it or minimize it or ignore it. But I just want to remind you that when these words were recorded in Scripture, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they are the very words of the Lord of heaven and earth. This is the eternal God, the one who can see behind the curtain of our lives and our earthly existence, and to see that there are only two ways that people will end up after death and judgment day. And he says, if you don't take sin seriously, you could end up in hell. And he describes it and he says, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Remember, this is Jesus, true God, who knows what hell is like, who knows that he doesn't want anybody to go there, and so he warns us, be serious about it. Don't neglect what I tell you in my word. Don't minimize it. Don't have a careless attitude about it, because hell is forever. That's got to be one of the most scary parts of it, not only the horror of it, but the forever. If there were only a chance that after 100 years or 1,000 years or a million years, if there was only a chance that one could escape the horrors of hell, then there would be some hope. But that hope doesn't exist. It is forever and ever. And that's why Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Oh, this is one of those hard sayings of Jesus. Can you imagine what it was like for the audience at first when Jesus was teaching and he was telling you, cut your hands off, cut your feet off, cut your eyes off, because all of them recognized that they were sins. So, Jesus, what do you mean? Even you and I recognize that, you know, I know how this hand will at times do things and act in a way that it's sinful. So I take and cut it off. Oh, that'll help. How long will it be before this one then falls into sin? Okay, then cut that one off. And how long will it be before my foot in a wayward way leads me against God's word? Okay, cut that right foot off. Well, will that stop the left foot from doing anything or the eyes? You see, Jesus isn't talking about doing that literally, but it is a cutting off that he wants you and me to understand we need to do. Sin starts deeper than the physical extremities that we have. It starts in our minds and mostly in our hearts. There are the sinful thoughts and the desires that lead our hands to offend, our eyes to lust, and our feet to stray. So Jesus says, cut yourself off from things that will lead you away from me. And that hurts. I suppose it hurts as much as Jesus is trying to say is cutting off your hand or your feet. Because doesn't it hurt when you have a habit that you've just fallen into, and maybe the more that you do it, you find it just becomes natural and routine. And to cut yourself off from that habit that you know God is not pleased with, that hurts. Change like that is difficult. Or maybe it's something that connected with your job or your life or your relationship with people that you see that what you are doing is, you know, it brings a lot of satisfaction, maybe even profit in your life. To cut yourself off from which God would say, no, that's wrong, that's sinful, that hurts. You feel like you're going through life maimed or handicapped because you can't have the things that maybe other people and many other people are enjoying. And so it's like some people would like to think, you know, if I really practice what Jesus is saying, life isn't going to be very much fun. In fact, have you heard this? Maybe even thought about it. I'm going to do this because, after all, God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Yes, he does want us to be happy. But true happiness doesn't come by following the ways of sin. True happiness comes by listening and obeying his word. Do you remember what Jesus said in his Beatitudes? He said, blessed are those, happy, that really means, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It's listening to his word. It's following his word that brings true happiness into our life. And that's why Jesus says, salt is good. Have salt in yourselves. Most often we think of salt as helping to make our food taste maybe a little bit better. But we also know that one thing that salt has the quality of doing is preserving food from spoiling. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here mostly. He says, have salt within yourself. Preserve yourself in my relationship with you in faith. And what that preservation agent is his word. So follow my word. Blessed are those that hear the word of God and obey it. And in that way, we can be happy. We can have a relationship that with him that is strong and true all the way up until the end. The close relationship and connection we have with Jesus is vital for two reasons. Because as every one of us sit here this morning and we examine what Jesus says about sin, we'd all have to confess that, Lord, I haven't been perfect. Lord, I haven't measured up to the standard. In fact, Lord, there are many times that temptation comes to me and I have fallen into the trap of them. The joy of Jesus. The joy of Jesus is that as the Son of God, he humbled himself and he came into this world and he took every one of those times that we have failed to measure up to his word. He took every one of those incidences where we thought we knew better or maybe didn't think it was very serious, and he bore the guilt of those in our place. He took the punishment of the sins that we commit, and he suffered that we deserve. He did this all as our wonderful substitute and covers us now with the righteousness of his own perfect life, so that God looks at you and me not as sinners who deserve condemnation, but the promise, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The good news is that by the connection that we have with Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And even more than that, as we are reminded of his forgiveness every day in our lives, as he comes to us with the gospel, he empowers you and me. He empowers you and me to recognize the way of the devil, the sinful world, and our sinful flesh that seek to lead us away from him, to recognize that, and with his power, with his grace, to not get tangled up in that sin, to walk away so that we are not trapped eternally. In his great love for you, Jesus does not want to lose you. And that's why he's so serious about what he says about sin. To cut ourselves off from it. To tear it away. And to throw it away. So that eternally we will be with him in the glory of heaven. Jesus wants us to look at our sin and our sinful desires and see how dangerous they really are. Not to minimize them, not to overlook them, not to make excuses, but to confess them and understand that in our confession, God is faithful and just and forgives all of our sins. So we hold the cross of Jesus before us every day, recognizing that in that cross, he has redeemed us. He has taken away our sin. And that cross is also our power to live lives in gratitude and in joy for him who is our Savior, all the way to the time that he takes us into the kingdom of God forever. God grant us this blessing. Amen.